and everybody can just continue on or bring up whatever they want.
Well, I don't know who the fellow was that was talking about. Was it last week or something?
With what, the commercial lien?
Yes, because I missed last week. I wasn't able to attend.
No, actually, I don't remember what it was, but I remember you were talking about it a little bit, you know, a few weeks ago. And, you know, because I know some people who have started doing this.
Yeah, well, they better watch their step when they do it and make sure they do it correctly, because they could get in a lot of trouble. They'll get them for what they were doing with us, was getting us for filing false and fraudulent documents.
Right.
Even though they were even though we had the right to do that because they defaulted in the paperwork, they don't care. They just file these papers against us, and it's like, hey, what they say happens. So, you know, it's their court, it's their game, and they don't like us stepping into it in the middle of the inning.
Yeah, you don't want to be going into their court. You want to do everything outside of their court.
Exactly. That's what we were doing.
Well, I mean, when they screw up, you need to move it up. You need to step it up to the proper jurisdiction.
Right. Now, the only other thing you could do is, once you got the default on them, another thing you could do is to take it into court, into a federal court, and have them rule with a declaratory judgment that they failed to respond to the notice and demand, and that they now are guilty and they owe the money. And if you have a declaratory judgment against them, now you can collect it. But we didn't do that. I think that may have some force and effect.
Yeah, it's how to respond when they fail to respond appropriately, and you've got a time limit to do that. You have to force their hand. And that's where I've made some mistakes in the past as well.
Yeah. But you'll get labeled. You'll have a sticker on your back. And you better watch your back when you start doing that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're cautious around me now. But.
Well, that's good. You got their attention anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, you get their attention.
Did anybody happen to watch 60 Minutes this week with Judd Posner?
No.
They did an interview. I'm trying to find the comments about what he had to say about the judicial system. But you can carry on the conversation while I look for that.
Posner, isn't he the one that was over in Connecticut under Sandy Hook? Ain't that the one that got shot, supposedly?
No, I don't think so. He has an accent because he's when he came to the United States, he was a child, and but he had some very interesting things to say about the prosecutors and what a bunch of criminals they are. And if I can find that, I'll relate it to you.
Great. Has anybody had any court issues this week? Or anything that they've been working on or working with anybody? I haven't seen anything in my email as far as anybody going to court, so.
There's only a couple people on the call at this moment, so.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Must be everybody is good. That's good. That's a good sign.
This is California Fred. I have a question.
Go for it.
As far as courtroom observers go,
yep.
I think this call should be extended for an hour instead of a half hour.
I thought it was an hour.
We do an hour, Fred.
Sir?
Fred,
according to the newsletter.
I don't know what the newsletter is about, but we do it for an hour.
Oh, good. Okay, anyway, my big question is this. Are the court watchers setting up to go in big time when National Liberty Alliance's case comes up?
I'm not sure, but I believe so, and I think that courtroom will be packed.
I think this would be the place to put the word out and to get people in that area coming to this website so we can coordinate and organize.
Right.
That's just an opinion.
Right. I missed the beginning of Monday call, and I don't know if John had given a date when this thing was going to transpire in court. I did hear he was having problems with the judge. Now they don't want to hear it. They're trying to dismiss it, saying that it lacks standing or venue.
John was saying that we do have standing, and he's submitting a paper for it. What he was saying is that the paperwork that they have sent to, like, New York, for instance, that they've turned around and they've hired lawyers or whatever, and they're totally off base. They're not even reading the documents.
Right.
And as far as the case goes on the Monday call, he said the courts don't know how to handle the NLA position because we're not coming in as plaintiffs. We're coming in as the people.
Yes.
Well, it's not really, you can't really say it's the NLA position. It's just simple common law, and they're not acknowledging it. In their mind, they're the boss common law, and they don't have the authority to do that. They're using the majority of people that are so ignorant and lack enough knowledge that they have no clue what common law is and what statutory law is. That's what they're using, because they're uneducated to people so badly. They think they're that person now. You know, the common knowledge or common law becomes whatever the people is common to them. And this is kind of where we're at. You got a nation full of ignorant, stupid people that are cowards. They're afraid, but they don't recognize that fear as being, tyranny. They're just not seeing it. I mean, it's everywhere.
They still think it's their court and not the people's court.
That's it. There you go. It's my court. That's the way these judges, that's the way these prosecutors approach it. And until we start administering our servants and filing charges against these scumbags and forcing them into these courts where we have the tribunal in control, they're not going to acknowledge it. It's just the way it is.
And I think what's going to happen, is I may be wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, if you know, but I think what's going to happen when these judges and prosecutors start getting charged and arrested, I think it's going to happen under citizen's arrest with the militia doing it. Because I don't believe you're going to find the county sheriffs, as much as we want them to be a part of it, they're scared to death.
Well, I'm inclined to agree with you on that. I'm having that issue here in my county. I've been subpoenaed to the court, point blank says statutory all over it. They're talking five and six and three-person judges, juries. They're absolutely controlling it. So if you've got a statutory court and you're being summoned to that, in the state of Virginia, you're no longer a common law country. This is not a republic. We're a democracy, what they see it as, a democracy. They have no clue what a republic is.
So So I think what we have to do is we have to contact our sheriffs and to tell them, explain to them what their job is, which we already have been doing. But if they refuse to do it, we have to be on the upfront and let them know what we are going to do. So
well,
that
I think that is the battle line. To me, that is the battle line, is it's with your sheriffs. And until you get enough people in one county to rule that, I mean, to really overlord that and overcome that and get control in one county, two counties, three counties, you know, one state, I don't think we're ever going to achieve anything. I just don't see it happening.
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
I think we're all missing the boat here because we're looking at the federal courts. And if my memory serves me correctly, around 1866 or so, there was a case where somebody was going to be court-martialed, and they made a decision that if the common law courts were open, that there would be no tribunal. Well, on the other hand, we the people are going after these corporate courts where the common law courts are not open. I think we need to use the provost marshal and the military under the UPA strut where they're supposed to guarantee us protection from corporatism. And they're not doing that. And it's on a federal level and all the other courts fall in line. Anyway, I yield.
I agree. Well, I agree with the provost marshal. I agree with that because from what I understand when I was studying with Rod Class, his stuff, 1868 under the Reconstruction Act, it gave the military, the provost marshal, the authority over all the courts and all the police and even the county sheriff. And if we were able to use a provost marshal to take over the court system or to help us, I think that's what we would have to do. Because under the Reconstruction Act, they have that authority to do that. But see, they haven't done anything because the people are just sitting on their hands. The people aren't actually doing anything. And that's one thing that Rod was screaming about, is how the people have to stand behind these guys and let them know that we're doing stuff. And Rod, under being a private attorney general, was filing all these papers, and he was really kicking butt over there in Washington, D.C. and North Carolina, both. So I think there's a way. It's just a matter of trying to find the right way and try to find the right people.
Well, the courts don't want to recognize anyone. Don't you see that there have been patriots? Countless patriots have fought against this tyranny. We have all kinds of groups, and group after group fails, and another group picks up the flag and charges where the other one left off, and they find a new avenue, a new canal to attack. And it's all in vain because we're not being heard. We have been trying to redress government for grievances, and they are not listening to us. And we have to pry the damn door over, get a crowbar. It's called the first. Quit funding the government till they comply. It's as simple as that.
We're getting a lot of background noise. Will whoever's doing whatever they're doing stop it?
Trying to push the people to, or the sheriff to get enforcement if they don't do their job. They're working in county, but
no. But I honestly do not believe it's going to be a peaceful transition. Look at what Trump is going through. And that's only a window into what we're going to have to work through.
Yeah, well, that's why I was asking about the commercial liens, because I'm wondering, you know, it looks like they're just going to ignore John's papers, the NLA's papers, rather, and I'm wondering what's going to be the next step.
Well, that would be a good alternative, is to file the commercial process. But I know in the beginning I mentioned it to John about commercial process, and he was dead set against doing that. Now, he may change his thoughts on that process because of how this is coming down. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I was wondering. It seemed to be the last alternative, you know, short of war.
Right. Especially in New York when they're taking our guns away.
It's even worse in New Jersey.
Yeah.
What they've been doing is people from out of state coming into New Jersey with their weapons carried in the way they're supposed to in their native state, such as in a glove box or wherever. But then somehow a cop pulls them over, sees them, and next thing you know, they're facing 10 years in prison. And then
right.
The only way they get out of it is if they get enough publicity and they can get Christie to give them a pardon.
Now, Missouri has passed a constitutional right to carry, which means that you don't need a permit or a license to own or to carry in your car, in your home, or on your street, in the street. Now,
yeah, but
under
that has a U.S. citizen. The difference between U.S. citizen and a national, it's a huge gap.
I believe that's a state thing.
What you guys need to do is read the Dick Act and find out what it says, because it trumps all this crap.
Yeah, the 1902 Dick Act. I know, that's what I've been screaming from the rooftops for a year now, over a year. And the 1903 Militia Act also. There's absolutely no way they could take our guns or force us from not having them. But what I'm thinking here is, under the Equal Protection Clause of the state constitutions plus the federal constitution, they cannot deny somebody something that one other state allows them to do. And we found that out about 6 months ago when these gender benders filed a lawsuit on the bathroom thing. And when they were trying to get homosexual rights, one state would give it to them and another state wouldn't. So they filed a Supreme Court case, and the Supreme Court came down and said, if one state allows it, everybody has to allow it. Well, guess what? That applies also to the guns. And I don't know why nobody brings this up in the court systems. Well, I do know why, because you have attorneys in there, and the attorneys won't do it. And I know in New York, for instance, there's quite a few lawsuits on the SAFE Act already in on the docket, but it's all done through attorneys. And I spoke to attorneys about it that are involved in the cases, and they just laugh at me.
We need some serious committees to sit together and discuss laws and things that we've actually succeeded in.
Right.
Come up with new ideas and new approaches where we got larger groups that will participate that are knowledgeable.
That would be a communications committee. A communications committee. That's what that would be. And that's right in line with the ham radios and the news. And that's what Carl's trying to put together right now. The communications
committee. Well, I'm
going to
get my... I don't have the radio yet, but I will be ordering that soon.
Well, whether you have a radio or not is inconsequential. I'm talking about Carl, who's trying to put together NLA News and the ham radio people who are working in with communications to set up exactly what you're talking about, a committee of communications to communicate with the committees of safety and the common law grand jury that will communicate irrespective of internet or power outages or whatever, okay? That's what they're working on. So get that down pat and realize what I'm trying to say. That's what they're trying to work on now, okay? NLA is going through growing pains. We're still young. We've got to work together through all of this garbage. And we're still not even recognized in the courts. Now, what happens if the courts recognize us? That would be a worst nightmare at this point, wouldn't it?
We would have to come up to speed.
We would have to come up to speed pretty fast.
Everybody still there?
Everybody still there?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't want to.
Okay, I found the thing on Alex Kaczynski is the judge, and there's a video of this. It says here... the judge says he's seen prosecutors distort evidence, coach witnesses, pile on charges to force guilty pleas, and fail to reveal facts that could help or be exculpatory to the defense, which they're legally required to do. Leslie Stahl says, how much of a stigma is it to not turn over exculpatory evidence? Is it a huge blemish on a prosecutor, on a lawyer? The judge said, I don't think so. I think they consider it feathers in their caps. Leslie Stahl, really? Alex Kaczynski. Maybe they won't admit it, but I think that's how they see it. I think that's absolutely true.
Yep.
Because that's what happened in my case. I was, and these people are really evil. They file false criminal charges in order to steal your property. You know, my father died, and there was a dispute between me and my sister, who was a co-executor, and she accused me of threatening to kill her in order to get me removed as co-executor. And then what happened with the prosecutor, he used all kinds of, evidence that was perjured evidence, subordination of perjury, in order to convict me. And even in my appeal, my lawyer said that I wasn't even allowed to present a defense. I mean, and they get away with this stuff. And I appealed it to the New Jersey Supreme Court. Of course, they wouldn't take the case because they knew what it was about. These people, they're just a bunch of criminal racketeers, and that's what people got to understand.
You know, people don't understand it until they're up against it. And
right.
Because they're afraid, whenever you try to teach these people that, they always say, well, you're going to end up in jail or prison or some crap. They don't realize that by their very statement, they've just acknowledged that they're living in fear and tyranny, and they don't get it.
That's also why, like in New Jersey, we have a couple of newspapers here, and they will never report judicial corruption unless it comes like from an official source like the prosecutor's office or a notice of judicial misconduct filed by a judge against another judge. But they will never go and actually do any investigation on the rampant corruption that's happening in the courts.
Mm-hmm.
The very first thing on exculpatory evidence is the fact that they need to come out and to explain the jurisdiction that they're falling under. And once they do that, then that's exculpatory because it doesn't apply to us. And they hold that against us.
Right.
And we had cases in this local area here in traffic where exculpatory evidence, I mean, we had piles of it. And they denied, and they don't even want to hear it.
Yeah, well, that's par for the course. You know, people got to start waking up because they don't realize that one of these days it's going to be their head in the dock.
All right, yep. But these are nothing but corporations, all right? So
right.
Use the Ultraviarius Doctrine as a reach. Their corporation is undermining the Constitution. And the corporation stands on the Constitution. Without the Constitution, the corporation falls. So how can a corporation trump the Constitution? Ultraviarius Doctrine takes them down.
That's an interesting point because that's what they're saying. Somebody mentioned that they didn't hear the beginning of the conference call on Monday, and that's exactly it. They're saying, well, you don't have any standing because you're not a lawyer. You're not a member of the club, you know, so therefore we have no reason to respond to you. They don't understand that, you know, the Constitution was there before the Bar Association.
All taxpayers have standing. The courts are public. They are not private. The bar is private, but that courtroom and those judges are paid for by tax money. They are accountable to the people. Many of them are elected. Some are appointed. They are totally accountable. And that's why I said it's the power of the first. Anyway, think about what I just said about Ultraviarius Doctrine. That is the key. Take down the corporation and the structure, and the judges fall with it.
Okay. Riddle me this. When the court came back with the papers saying that we did not have standing, I think they need to explain themselves that we're not part of the club. Which club are they talking about? The government club? Or the corporation
court. When the judge comes back with that, what you do is you file a writ of error and ask him to recuse himself. He's incompetent.
He's in violation of treason to the Constitution.
Well, this actually isn't the judge that's coming back with this at this point. It's the
attorney.
Some kind of attorney, yeah, for the state.
Well, now the attorney for the state is a member of the corporation, and he's strutting around as a political, what would you call it? Everybody thinks he's some kind of a prosecutor for the people. He's not. He's a corporate entity. He's a fiction. He belongs in prison.
I agree.
Also, if he's a New York State prosecutor, he's supposed to be for the people.
No, he's a corporate agent, and operating as a corporate agent in the corporation of the state, for the state, he's not representing the people. He's hijacked the people, so what he's actually doing is a fraud upon the people. We're the National Liberty Alliance. We are the people. We need to throw these bastards in prison.
I agree. But whenever they file a case, it's always the people of the state of New York against the defendant. Now, he represents the people of the state of New York because he's the one that prosecutes the case against the defendant. So if he's representing the people of the state of New York, then the conflict is he is representing National Liberty Alliance when they come in as the people. And they don't know how to handle that.
He's a corporation lawyer. That's where you got to get like I said before, that's where you go to the attorney. You go to the provost marshal. Nobody wants an attorney. Hey, they're the worst nightmare of anybody in a military situation anywhere is when you get some kind of an AG on their ass. These people take no prisoners.
Well, maybe that's where we're headed.
That may be what we have to do. See, Rod Class did that same thing, and he went through it and got to try to get a hold of a provost marshal, and they wouldn't do it because there wasn't enough people behind him. So he was even looking into the international court. And he did something with that, but it didn't pan out either.
We got the people behind us. We really do.
I know.
And if the court watchers showed up in mass, it would be over for them. They would have to take some action.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking we should have some kind of demonstration in front of the courthouse. But, of course, you know, 6,000 people or so were spread out all over the United States. I would do it. I'm in New Jersey. I'm not that far away. But that's a tall order for some people.
Well, look, if you want to stage, some kind of protest, I suggest this. Wherever you are in your local community, make a complaint to your local grand jury. Who is writing the rules for your local grand jury? And who's the author of it? Who authorized them to represent the people? And submit that the jury is an equal branch of government that doesn't serve at their, they don't call the shots. The jury does. The jury is superior to the judges.
Well, there was an interesting case in New Jersey several years ago in which something similar to that happened.
What I said.
What?
That's where everybody that's on this call lives somewhere. And in your local jurisdiction, file the paperwork for your grand jury to investigate who's writing the instructions for that jury and give them information about Scalia, what National Liberty Alliance is saying, and they can free themselves independently through their own investigations. Does that make sense to you, what I just said?
Yeah, but the thing is that my understanding that the instructions come from the Attorney General of the state, and the county attorney is controlled by the state.
It's all a corporate fiction.
I know.
It's all a corporation fiction. That's what I'm trying to say. That's where you need to stop it. You nip it in the bud at the county. That's where this 2020 Agenda 2020 and Agenda 2013 and all that shit's coming from. They're buying off the county representatives with UN agendas. We got to stop them at the county level.
I think this is going to kind of revolve around whether we file claims or charges. If you're filing a charge against an official, I think that's where it's going to really take hold. Because we're not filing charges against these officials. We're not charging them for high crimes, and they need to be charged for high crimes. And until we are able to amount that and achieve that, I don't see us really gaining any foothold because we're not putting fear. Whole key around everything is putting fear in these people instead of them putting fear into us. And the only way you're going to put fear in them is to charge them with a crime, a high crime. Because when they do it, it's a high crime. You watch these people on TV when they're talking about these individuals that are trying to plead the fifth. if you're in a government position and Congress or the Senate calls you, you can't plead the fifth. If you're a government official and you're being brought in by a court, you can't plead the fifth. Where the hell are they getting this crap? But I never hear them say, well, I mean, it's very plain and simple. If you're being charged with a high crime, you have an obligation and a duty to speak. There is no pleading the fifth. You're not one of the people. You're a government fiction.
Right.
Where do they get this pleading the fifth crap? Nobody's taking that position. Nobody's clarifying, well, you can't plead the fifth. You either answer the question or you're going to jail now. That's the only way we're going to get anywhere with these stupid people. I mean, I get furious because I see this stuff constantly. You know, and Trey Gowdy's supposed to be the big to-do. But, you know, never has he ever told him point blank, you can't plead the fifth. Give me an answer, I'm going to charge you with a high crime. Period. You have a duty and obligation to speak, and that's all. You're not a citizen. You're holding a public office.
Trey Gowdy's an attorney. He's part of the problem, pal.
Oh, yeah, that's why we got all these people to get away with crime and nobody's been charged. It's going to take the people to file the charges because the government's not going to charge at all. Government's protecting government. This is what John calls a felony rescue. If they're going to continue the felony rescue until we start charging them, they're going to continue the rescue until we start charging those who are performing the rescue. It's going to take the people. Not these so-called people that we think we put in charge up there. They think they're our bosses instead of our servants. And until we start administering our servants, they're not going to do anything. It's going to take charges. So we need people to put together these charges. We need to put together one hell of a good charge against somebody to get a point across. But the people are here and awake and alive. And we have some people out there. I mean, that court trial that John talks about where Scalia, you know, explains what the people was, that was obviously a sovereign group of jurors. I don't think that was Scalia. I don't think he had a choice. He wrote it for the majority of the jurors. Obviously, there were some knowledgeable people that were sovereigns on that jury. He admitted he doesn't make those decisions. He writes the opinion, but it wasn't necessarily his decision. No, that's because the sovereigns, when they're in charge, when they're in that courtroom, they know what's going on, and he ain't had no choice but to write what was the law.
You know, one of the things with the case that John put together in the federal court, when they came back and said that he don't have or we don't have standing, he's wrong. The court is wrong because in order to have standing, there has to be injury. Somebody has to be damaged. And it's the people that are damaged that are filing this case. So therefore, they do have standing. And going back to the...
Now, when you're saying standing, and the point you're saying is that someone's been injured, but you've got to provide the body. Where's the corpus delicti? Who's the injured party? If there's an injured party, there's a remedy. That's what you're saying.
Right. All the people that have been
injured. So the premise of where's the injured party, so... We need to come back with that. That needs to be clarified. But they don't have a right. You know, the judge can't make any decision. If a judge is making that decision, then it needs to be, what is it called? If the judge is making the decision and doesn't have it, we need to disclaim that. I can't think of what it is right now. We need to vacate the judge's decision, in other words. When a judge makes a decision, he has no authority to make a decision because there's either a private over a private, and the judge has no authority. You know, in other words, like Bill Thornton says, you know, you suspend the judge because I'm a private person, and we've already got this agreed to. Why isn't he honoring the contract? We've already got this. So this is private. It's not a public thing. The judge has no right to make a decision because this is private. We've already got this settled. There's no argument here. It's a settled. It's already been settled. But obviously somebody's confused, and it must be you because you're trying to make a decision when you don't have the authority to make a decision. This has been established in private, and therefore we're going to have to vacate your decision. And if he tries to make another decision, well, then we hold that judge in contempt of our court because he has no authority to use his discretion. He has been suspended from the ability. He can only do what he has in front of him. He has not been given anything in front of him to make a decision by our people. So John needs to go back and vacate that decision and hold that judge in contempt if he does it again. That's all we got to do. We just keep going with what we got, what we know works. And when they don't, then we start pressing the authorities to arrest, you know, to arrest. Don't sit around, you know, waiting for them to take our side because they're not going to do it. They're dirt bags.
Right. But see, what we have is an employer-employee relationship dispute. They're in violation.
That's right. We're the employer and they're the employee, and they need to get that crap straight.
Exactly. And we, as the employer, go after them for their dereliction of duty for what we're paying them to do. And we are the damaged parties because they aren't holding up to their contract and agreement to do the job that they have been hired to do.
Yeah.
And I think that is how we're going to get some traction with a case like that, with that language in there, holding them accountable. I may be wrong.
Absolutely. The accountable thing is what you're saying. That's exactly right. You nailed it right there. We've got to pick one strong county somewhere where we got enough people that know enough law, that have enough courage to put everything they have into it, and we can get enough people in mass to show up.
Right.
As many times as it takes. And that's going to be the difficulty, because all we got to do is shove it down their throat one time in one court and have some people arrested, and they're going to. John's right about that. Once that occurs, they're going to run. They're going to flee. And we're so close. We're so close, yet we're so far away. But people are so afraid. They're scared, and they don't have the tenacity like the founders did. To recognize that we have the authority to do that, and we do. We can hold them in contempt. We just have to have a group of people that's got enough knowledge that we can combat anything they throw at us. We got more to come back at them. We got more reasons to go ahead than they got reasons for us to get out and run.
Yep.
That's what it's going to take. We got to have more reasons to go ahead than they got reasons to run. If we can come back with the right answer, you know, they come back with all their lies and their crap, you know, well, we don't have standing on the side, but we have the only standing. No, we don't have to go to your court because your court is null and void. It's non-jurisdictional. It has no authority. It has no standing. It's a court of foreign jurisdiction, and it needs to be shut down. And I've even heard some of these judges on TV, even that Judge Joe Brown I've heard him as an attorney many times say, I've shut that court of foreign jurisdiction down before, and I'm going to shut it down again. Even that black judge understands this. It's a foreign court, and he shut it down before. And he knows that. These judges know this stuff. It's not, you know, they're playing games. They're using force, and they're using criminal behavior to override us. So we're just going to have to see who's got the greater authority. You know, until the people stand up, until you can stand up straight and strong and not move from your place, until you can look them in the face and say, you move over here and I'm going to own you. You put your hands on me, I'm going to own you. You do this to me, I'm going to own you. I'm going to put you in jail. You're going to be locked up for a long time, you move over here and hassle me with this crap. But that's the kind of stuff I think we're going to have to do. It's not just bold threat. It's we got to start throwing that law out there. We got to start throwing, you know, the authority, you know, the common law, because they don't know what common law is. I'm not contracting with you today. You need to shut down and sit down and shut the hell up. You know, and because, you know, your third-party descriptions of things that referring to these attorneys that think they're attorneys that know something when they're attorneys that don't know squat, they need to shut up and sit down. Because I'm about to put you on the stand, and I'm going to prosecute you, Mr. Prosecutor. Because that's what we do.
Right.
And until we can get to that point where we have no fear, and we're only going to get that until we're at a point where the people have the knowledge. When the individual has the knowledge, he has no fear, because he knows not only is he in the right, but he has the law, and he knows the law, and he has no fear of those that are violating it. And until we do that, you're not going to have the stance that even Mahatma Gandhi had. He knew he was in the right, but he knew he had the law, too. And he used that, and he had the support. And until we get that, and I think what's happened out there out west with the Bundys and the other gentleman out there that lost his life, I mean, he's really put it out there. You know, this is what it's going to take. We got to have that to get attention. And it's not getting attention on the media because we don't have a media. They own it. They control the narrative, as Chris Ann Hall calls it. You know, it's time for us to control the narrative. And if we don't start controlling that narrative, we're not going to gain anything in media because they're controlling it.
Right.
I heard him say on Fox News several times, people are leaving the United States. You know, that's kind of a half lie. Is it accurate? Well, you could say that, but no, they're not leaving the United States. They're not going anywhere. They're not leaving the United States just so they can get out of paying taxes, but that's the impression. That's what they said. No, they're not leaving the United States. No, all they've done is correct their status. They ain't gone nowhere. But did they explain that? No. They're controlling the narrative. And the narrative is they're leaving the country to get out of paying the income tax. No, that's not what we're doing. We're correcting our status that was incorrect to begin with because we don't have an obligation to pay tax because there is no tax. It's voluntary, and when you learn to quit volunteering to pay it, it'll go broke.
Amen.
Now, that's the narrative, and that's the narrative, like Chris Ann Hall was saying, that we need to gain. And until we gain that narrative, you know, we're not going to get it by hiding in the shadows. We got to get out there in the light. You can't do this stuff out here in the dark, hiding from the authorities because you're afraid. Can't do that. Chris Ann was in the light. She was in the light when she said it. She's constantly out there in the light. These Bundy people and all them folks, they've been out there in the light. We got people out here supporting the Indian tribes because they have a right. They're in the light. You know, what are we going to do? What are we doing? Are we going at this in the light, or are we trying to avoid persecution? Because we ain't going to, if we're expecting that to happen, it ain't going to happen. we're going to get persecuted. We're going to get prosecuted until we stand up and go into light and start putting these people on the line. If we've got enough people that'll, right, we've got the people. We're crying out loud. Well, we got 5,000 people, 6,000, 8,000 people now that are saying they're members. If we just had 500 people that to get together in one location and all move, if we could get just one tenth of that 6,000 people I'm looking at right here, one tenth of that, that's 600 people. We're going to get 600 people to show up in court, any day. We need a fund to get 600 people to show up and know what the hell is going on. Oh, yeah, you don't think we're going to control the narrative? I'm a bloviate, and I apologize for that, gentlemen. But that's where I'm at. I'm just sick of people that I talk to in day to day, not the folks here on National Liberty, because I know the love and the desire is there. But I just don't feel like we're still quite moving in the right direction. I don't think we're doing quite the same thing. We're trying to do things in a safe manner, and I just don't think there is such a thing when you're talking about your rights. You gotta, you know, the Philistines, you know, when David made a mistake, he made a mistake because he listened to somebody talking to his ear. Well, if you do that, you know, you're gonna get in trouble. You need to be counting how many people you got, you know, and he did the wrong thing, and he went out and said, "Hey, Commander, go out here and count these people." Well, that was the beginning of a mistake because, you know, that showed fear. He was expressing fear. It was an expression of courageousness and boldness. What did the commander say? Why would we do such a horrible thing? Our numbers have never mattered. How many people and how many soldiers never mattered before. We have Jehovah fighting for us. We have the Lord of Hosts. You know, how many soldiers did they have before that? Well, they had 30 and they had 3. Never lost a battle. Well, 30 and 3. Never lost a battle. Didn't matter if there was thousands. They never lost a battle. 30 and 3. Now we got a ton of armies. Because now somebody's trying to whisper in our ear, they're going to come and arrest you. You're going to jail. You're going to be arrested for treason. They're going to take everything you got. They use this fear, threat, intimidation, better use of force, you know, to lord it over us. And until we can overcome that, you know, we're the 33 people that got the balls to do if necessary to stand up. We don't need weapons. We need that one soldier to stand up and turn in the battle, in the heat of battle, turn, draw a sword, draw that line and they're saying, hey, this is as far as you're going, man, and not another spot will you move. I'm not moving. I'm going to hold this line, and it's impenetrable because I know who's backing me up. Are we right or are we wrong? That's where we need to go. Are we right or are we wrong? And if we're wrong, then let's just end it right now and get out. Let them take it, and I'll just stick it out as long as I can. Otherwise, we need to get that courage that that one man got, the one man that had the angel say, hey, he's about to give out. Let's see if he gives out. No, we're going to strengthen his hand because he hasn't budged. And they strengthen his hand every time, 2 and 3 and 4 times, until he is the lawful last man standing. And there was no one in front of him that come over him because he had the courage to do what he said he would do. He held that line till the last man standing, and it was him. That's where we got to get, and I ain't seeing it. I've been screaming about it for a while, but I ain't seeing it. No, if this group, if this organization succeeds, if this nation succeeds, if the earth succeeds over the Nephilim and these evil people, then we deserve destruction. Let it come. Anyway, I'm done. I relinquish.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any ideas? Or should we end it? It's been an hour.
That's up to you.
I think he's right. The Bible says there's a time for everything, and I think it's the time to stand up and fight.
Exactly. That's the problem. That's what we're going to have to do, because it's obvious as we look around that trying to do it their way and trying to do it the polite way ain't going to happen. Nobody's going to get anywhere. We're going to have to take the bull by the horns and say, this is it. This is our court. This is our country. This is our republic, and you guys are trying to take it away from us. And then it's just a matter of trying to see the best way to do it. So do you have any idea how to do it?
A goodly number of people want to see things happen, but they are unwilling to put the time in to study and find out what the Constitution is all about. We have a very low percentage of our membership who has bothered to take these courses.
I agree.
Why can't we get the militia behind us? The bikers were helping Trump. Why can't we get them? How can we contact them to the court?
Well, the way to do that, I think, is to become a part of their group. To join the biker groups and talk to them and to get them on board, because each and every one of them, they have the same passion that we have. However, I don't believe they know about us, and they don't have any idea how to go about doing what needs to be done. And they need some instruction, and they need some leadership. And I think they'll fall right into place. The bikers are a force worth reckoning with. And so are the truckers, and so are the people with scope, and the gun rights of America, gun owners of America. And just those groups right there, we could take this country back in a heartbeat.
Okay, anybody else got anything?
No, I'm good.
I'm having trouble hearing. Is anybody there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm good.
Okay. Well, you know, we only got, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people on the board, and only 2 or 3 are actually talking. So I don't know whether you got, I'll stay here as long as you guys want. But, you know, if nobody's got anything else more to say, then I'll shut it down. It's up to you.
Most of us are being polite and listening.
Well, that's true. But there's not a lot of people in the queue anyway who are trying to get in. All right, well, I'm not hearing anybody now, so...
Okay.
I'm going to close it down, unless anybody has anything else to say at the last moment. Any closing thoughts?
Well, the only thing I would like to say is that this is the courtroom observers, and the guy that's running the courtroom observers should find out from John Duresh who we should organize and where we should go to at least be there for the National Liberty Alliance case.
Well, I think that would be a question for John on Monday night.
Well, yeah, but this is the courtroom observers. This is where those people need to rally and organize to be there. That's right. What I'm trying to tell you. And we need to work with Ollie in the news so that the whole NLA membership gets the message of what's going on through the news. So maybe it is a Monday night issue, and would you please bring it up, sir?
Sure.
Thank you. And I'll mute out and let everybody go home.
Okay. Anybody else with that, anything? I guess not. Okay. Well, it was a good conversation. I learned a lot. And I am going to close down this conference call now.
Okay. Thank you. Have a blessed night. Good call. God bless everybody.